Welcome to Torah Timecha of the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Shaiwitz, and today we'll be learning Eicha Perek Dalet, Chapter 4. Hope and despair are opposites. Hope is the expectation of a certain thing to happen, and despair is actually defined as the lack of hope. And yet, as we saw yesterday in Eicha Perek Gimel, it's not unusual to find expressions of hope and despair in very close proximity. And Perek Dalet is another great example of this, where our darkest moments are described, but also our most hopeful. Perek Dalet describes the famine and the devastation that occurs really in the immediate wake of the Chorban. And society as we know it is no longer. So Yirmiyahu begins with a description of value. What does value look like when society has been destroyed? And he begins with the words, Eicha yu'am zahav, yeshna haketam hatov, tishtapechna avnei kodesh b'rosh kol chutzot. Again, like the other prakim that we saw, so far all except for chapter 3, begin with the word Eicha. How did this happen? Or alas, this is what happened. Gold has become dull, and sacred gems are now spilled at every street corner. So right away, our attention is caught by the fact that gold, something that is inherently valuable, seems to have lost its value. Now, why is gold valuable? It's beautiful, it's rare, it's sustainable, but all of this means nothing when human life is threatened and gold can't protect it. This pasuk evokes Holocaust comparisons, where wealth lost its value when it wasn't able to secure food or safety. And yes, while the gold and the jewels remained, if the people didn't, then the jewels themselves became meaningless. Now, this in itself is a powerful statement, but the next pasuk bet, pushes us to dig deeper by parsing the metaphor even further. B'nei Tzion ha'yikarim ha'mesulim bapaz eicha nechshavu l'nivlecheres ma'aseh yidei yotzer. So first, the first statement, Pasuk Aleph, was about the gold, how gold has lost its objective value. But then Pasuk Bet takes that gold and puts it, frames it as a metaphor. Who is the gold? The gold is the children of Jerusalem, who were valued as gold, right? We always say our children are our greatest assets. And yet now, instead of gold, they're being treated like earthen pots. Gold represents the children, right? Children like gold, they are rare, precious. They allow us to see beauty in the world around us. And we hope that they'll perpetuate us and provide us with a legacy. And yet, in this chapter that describes famine, even children are not valued and they're treated like things that are broken and dispensable. And yet, this analogy, this metaphor, breaks down when we push it too far. In the end of the day, gold is a mineral, and it is bizarre to not treat gold in a way that is commensurate with its beauty and its value, but it's not a crime. No one's arrested for leaving their gold necklace in the middle of a store. And yet, in fact, the Torah itself warns us against the dangers of overvaluing our gold. But not valuing children is a crime. So there's a strong progression in these two psukim. The first pasuk tells us the depth of the devastation, so that the structure of society, as we know it, has broken down. But the second tells a much darker tale, because it talks of the disintegration of the ethical norms. And this breakdown of relationships and norms continues to develop. In Pasuk Dalet, the Jewish mothers are contrasted with the animal kingdom, where even the jackal, who is not known for her compassion, will nurse her children. But Bat Ami, right, the Jewish women, are like an ostrich who refuses to nurse her children. And this indictment of the mothers climaxes in Pasuk Yud, where the mothers are accused of much more than withholding food. Yidei Nashim Rachmaniyot Bishlu Yaldehen. The hands of the merciful women cooked their own children. And this chilling pasuk that comes up in Eicha, it comes up in the keynote, we remember it It shakes us up because it describes a change in nature. Yael Ziegler points out in her new book called Lamentations, put out this year by Magid Studies in Tanakh, a really wonderful series. So she points out that whether or not a woman is a mother, her nature is to be merciful. So I would start by saying, really, mercy, rachamim, is a trait of all Jewish people. But even more so here, there's a connection between the words rechem, which is the womb, and rachamim, mercy. Woman is created with the ability to nurture a child in her body for 9 months. How then did we get to this place where the same mothers can be accused of the ultimate cruelty towards their children? And I think what this parak does here is it raises one of our ultimate fears, which is, if we ourselves were in a fight for our own survival, would we trade in our humanity? The narrator veers here to talk about how we got here, acknowledging that while it's Hashem who brought the destruction, it's the leaders who bear the guilt and the responsibility for not preventing it. The spiritual leaders, the political leaders, they're all called to task for failing to take responsibility and for their lack of vision in leading the people. The theme of the parak is really darkness. All color, all shine has been lost. Jewels have lost their glow. People who were dressed in colorful clothing, they wear rags. And people, and perhaps even the leaders, are described as wandering blindly through the streets, leaving the reader to wonder whether we're talking about literal or figurative blindness. And in light of the literal and figurative darkness of this parak, and I would say in light of is a definitely an intended pun here, it's startling then that our most hopeful statement also occurs in Parak Daled. With no transition, the parak closes with these two psukim. Sisi v'simchi bat Edom, yoshevet be'eretz utz, gam alayach tavor kos, tishkiri v'titari. So first of all, there's a strong voice that comes up here that says, the people of Edom who are living in the land of Utz, you should rejoice, because rejoice for now, it's own time limited. You will also be past this drunken cup that will cause you to ultimately to reveal yourself. Meaning there's a confidence here that even though I'm suffering now and I'm down, but the Jewish people are suffering, ultimately that cup of punishment that's been passed to the Jewish people. And here, this is a metaphor that Yirmiyahu uses in his own Sefer, in his Sefer Yirmiyahu as well. It's a confidence that ultimately that cup will be passed and Edom will suffer also. Edom may be a reference here. The different commentaries discuss how Edom is often the juxtaposition, that like when Yaakov is down, Esav is up. So ultimately Edom, the descendant of Esav, will fall once Bnei Israel rise again. But what's striking here is really the confidence that Edom will ultimately be the one to suffer. And then he continues, Tam avoneich bat Zion, lo yosif lahagloteich, pikad avoneich bat Edom, gila achatotayich. So finishing the thought, he goes on to say, Zion's sin will end. Right? There will be a point where they won't be punished any further, but Edom's sin will be remembered and they will suffer for their sins. What is this process where the lamenter here, perhaps it's the voice of Yirmiyahu, can move so quickly from 20 of the darkest psukim in all of Tanakh to these two verses at the end that are so confident that things are going to turn up, that there's hope after this process, that Edom, who's rejoicing, will suffer, and ultimately Zion will begin to see the light of hope once again. And on the one hand, I think it's important to notice that there are steps that are really missing here. It's not simple to move so directly from all these laments and despairing statements to these psukim of very strong confidence. It feels, for example, that what's missing here is an expression of tefillah, an expression of prayer, right? That would maybe bridge that gap between despair and hope. But I think maybe this is the point. The juxtaposition of the despair with the hope emphasizes the point that as humans, if we feel despair, we will also feel hope. And this is how human nature works. Our emotions are responsive to our situation, but even with that, there's a certain cyclical quality. Once we are people who can feel emotions, we're people as a people and as individuals who feel despair, that means that we also have the potential to feel hope. And perhaps this is the most comforting statement of all. Thank you for learning Eicha Perek Dalid with the OU Women's Initiative. I look forward to learning together tomorrow.